2 days before the Passover, this occurred. And there were all kinds of conversation already that the disciples knew about, trying to convince Jesus, don't die, you know, because he's been talking about it. And all the enemies of the Lord, they were plotting to kill him. When can we do it? When's the best time? And he wasn't fighting back. So he goes into this home, a home that he's familiar with. And remember, this is a place where not too long ago, we talked about it last week, where he went to and he did the most phenomenal miracle of all. He raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember that? So he goes in there and the anointing happens. I want to share three things that he said in this passage that I think they're so awesome. Three things that Jesus said. The first thing was, she has done a beautiful thing to me. Can you imagine Jesus saying that to you? She has done a beautiful thing to me. All right, let me give you a little background here. He goes in and they're having dinner and everything and whatever they were doing. And different people were doing things. And then you are a celebrity. Obviously, Jesus was at that time. You know, Jesus come at you. And so Martha's doing things. Lazarus out there. I'm sure people are talking to him. How does it feel to be dead? Where did you go to, you know? What is it like in heaven? On. And there's Mary. He comes in, and she does the unthinkable, at least for a lot of people there. She breaks open a jar of perfume, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, and pours it on his head, which is a weird thing to do anyway, right? Just pour it on someone's head. And people just don't do that. And that bottle of perfume was so amazingly powerful that I'm sure the whole house and outside can smell it. It is a bottle of pure nard. If you don't know what that is, you can Google it, you can read up on it. Nard is from, they call it nard, it's from a flower called spikenard. And spikenard is a flower that you can only find in the Himalayan mountains of India, now part of China and Nepal. It grows above, well, way above the tree line, 9,000 plus level, from 9,000 to 16,000 feet above sea level. That's where it grows. So you see why it's so expensive. And they still have it today. And this is pure. You know, it isn't one of these clone or something like that. It's not diluted. It's pure. And we are told in here that it costs 300 denarii. Now, denarius, one denarius is typically one day's wage. So this is a whole year's wage. Today, in typical America, the average salary is about $40,000, $45,000. You can imagine, that's how much it would cost. This is a bottle of pure nard. And they use it, I mean, they don't just pour it out, they would dilute it. That bottle could have lasted, you know, 50 years. They dilute it. And they use it for a lot of things, special occasions, weddings and all. And they also use it. They use it to prepare dead bodies. What that means is it would put a perfume on it so that it won't smell so bad. Because they don't embalm in the Jewish tradition. So that's what that is. And so Jesus comes in and Mary goes, breaks it open, pours the whole thing on. Say, what is that going on? What is going on there? And of course, right away, Judas and others may be thinking about it, but he said it. He said, what are you doing? That's so stupid. You can't do that. You could save that, sell that, and take care of the poor. Very practical, very, very Christian, if you want to call it that, very religious. Why do you want to waste something like that, right? And you would think that Jesus would have said the same thing, because I want to tell you right now, people are like that. I'm like that. If nothing, I am pragmatic and practical. And churches today and Christians today are pragmatic and practical in so many ways. What we want to do is maximize what we do. And sometimes churches are a little bit like community centers. We want to use our resources to care for the poor. That's great. To care for the needy, you know, to take care of the missions work, on and on. Why don't you do that? Why would you waste
a year's salary, pouring it away, so they thought. But the response that Jesus said is what's important for us to understand. She has done a beautiful thing to me. You see, here it is, all the ministries of the church, all the ministry of religious people, all the ministries that you and I can be a part of, all so important. We talk about it all the time. We take spiritual gifted tests. I think a group of you took it yesterday. We talk about where you want to serve, you know, what are places where you have passion for. We talk about those things. And when you come to church, what do? We learn about God. We study the Word of God. We're going through the Bible right now. I'm preaching the Word of God. We focus all those things, so important. But what is missing sometimes? We haven't done that for Jesus. You know what that was? You know what Mary was doing? She was worshiping. She was worshiping Jesus. It is an act of worship. I sometimes wonder whether the churches today have missed that. And if you look around, you'll understand how come, especially some of the younger people, the passion at times of our lives, when we are in that, you know, young adolescent age and young adult age, they gravitate. They gravitate to ministries or events where worship is paramount. You know, some of the churches that are drawing people today, they focus on the worship part. It doesn't even matter what they're preaching about. I mean, the biggest church in the nation, you know which one it is, right downtown. You heard one message from him, you heard it all. You know, it's not a knock on him. Obviously, he's a good preacher. But you know, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on. But yet, 60,000 people go every Sunday and Saturday. There's a focus on the worship part of it. Maybe, you know, it's not what we want, but you know what? That's what seems to touch the hearts of people. Why? There's something about that. Sometimes we miss that. You know, we think about all those other practical things. But not Mary. She didn't miss that part. You know, one of the things that we try so hard to work with some of the Eastern European countries, when people come to church, you know, there's this idea what you need to be, what you need to do, and so on and so forth. And in fact, there's churches, Baptist churches, in fact, churches that we work with, you know, that works with the Southern Baptists, that once upon a time, I'm not sure they do that anymore, but they did, the jobs of the deacons were to stand outside the front door to examine people coming in, whether they had dressed appropriately. If a girl comes in, you know, a woman comes in and she's wearing pants, or she's got makeup on and some earrings, go home, change, you can't come in here. This is inappropriate, really. See, for them, there's this criteria, what it is. What matters to them as far as worship, you know? And those things we say, wait a minute, that's not what worship is. It's not about what you're dressing, you know? It's about the heart, isn't it? It's in the depths of your heart. It is. And so when people come here to church, you know, you can dress any way you want. I don't have an issue with your dress. The deacons want me to dress down a little bit, so I don't have a tie today. Sometimes I don't have a jacket, I do have a tie. But you know what? When you come to church and when you're worshiping, what are you doing? What is it in there? You know, if Jesus is right here physically, would that be the way you're dressing? If Jesus is right here physically, would that be the way you're looking? If Jesus is right here, what would you do? You see, it's in the heart of worship, in the depths of your heart. What are you doing? Mary wanted to give her everything she had. She wanted to worship the Lord that way. And sometimes I think we miss it. We missed the worship part of it. You know, when we came here, in fact, yesterday, actually, in case you guys don't know, it's 4-year anniversary, Barbara and I, at CBC. And the first thing we did, you know, when we came, the first person we wanted to bring on staff with us was a worship pastor. You know why? Because I believe that the worship is the most beautiful thing in our relationship to God. We can give to God. We can do things for God. We can serve God. We can learn about God. We can study about God. We can do all those things. But unless we're worshiping God, we miss the most important thing. not that the music is the only part, but the worship part of who we are is so important. And so Jesus said, guys, leave her alone. You guys may be practical. You guys might not even be wrong, but she has chosen the best. She has done a beautiful thing to me. The second thing he said, I want to look at today. She did what she could. What in the world was that about? The first part was our worship. You know what this is about? This is about Mary's love for Jesus. She loved Jesus. You know she loved Jesus. She loved Jesus for who he was and all that she's done for them. Remember, she raised her loved, beloved brother Lazarus back to life. He was there, and you know, she would sit at his feet and listen to all the things he was saying. She loved him so much. At this point in time, she knew, because she was living with a guy that resurrected from the dead, all right, Lazarus. She knew what Jesus said. She knew that Jesus was going to die. Now, the disciples didn't want him to die. They were trying every which way to get him from being dead, you know, being killed. And you remember what Peter did? When that soldier came and he took a sword out, he did everything he could to protect Jesus. He cut the guy's ear off. Mary couldn't do that. Mary knew she couldn't prevent him from dying. But you know what she did? She did what she could. She anointed Jesus. Ahead of time, not knowing whether she would have a chance afterwards, she anointed Jesus. She took that which cost a year's wage, maybe all that she owned, not that she was poor or rich, but all that she owned. She did what she could. She did the most she could. She took her most prized possession, I'm sure, took that jar, broke it, poured the whole thing on Jesus. She did what she could. And the question I want to ask you guys is this. Could that be said of you? Could that be said of you? Could Jesus say, you did what you could? You know, a lot of times we do a little bit, you know? We talked, spent a whole month on stewardship and giving. We can give a little bit. We can give our tithe. We can give a little more. But not that. We can't do that. Or we go serve the Lord, you know? I can give you this time. I have this little bit of time. But I got to spend the other with my family, with my, you know, education, with my career. Would Jesus look at you and say, you did what you could? You know, one day when you enter into heaven, and if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you will enter into heaven, and you can look in his eye, and I hope he says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. But would he say, you did what you could when you were on earth? I thought about this as I prepared this message. I thought a lot about this, about me. Did I do what I can? Are there more things I could do? Are there more stuff I could give? Are there more time I can spend? Are there more heart passion that I could put into the ministry? I'm a pastor in CBC. Yes, that's where God has called me to be your pastor. Can I do more? Is it all that I could do? Because I sure want to hear that. Jesus says she did all she could. She did what she could. I mean, that's a great thing. What else is there to say? Are we holding back something in our lives? I hope not. Hope not. And then he says something that's really interesting here. Goes to the end, he says, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told. What an honor. That the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the universe, the creator of life itself, what an honor it was for him to say that about this woman. We know nothing about Mary. We don't know she got married. We don't know she has children. We don't know whether she's a doctor, an engineer. We don't know what she was. We don't know what she accomplished. Was she in politics? Was she, you know, some famous person? We don't know. We don't know who she is. We know these situations here. But I want to tell you, everybody that's a believer and beyond, well, they know about Mary, what she did. She has been honored for 2,000 years because of what she did. In her worship and in her love for Jesus. There are very few people that would be in those categories. A few here and there, but not like Mary. One of my favorite missionaries in life, well, I have three really favorite ones. I love Hudson Taylor and read about him. I could read it again and again, his biography. And William Carey, missionary to India. But the third one, maybe the most famous one in the West, actually, was David Livingston. And here, we have a little monument that was in the newspaper in 1903. David Livingston died at the age of 60. I think it's May 1st, 1873. He died in what is the country known today as Zambia. The people in Africa loved him so much. This is what they did after he died. They took his heart, because his heart was so passionate for Africa. They buried it in this spot right here, under this mpuna tree, it's called. And then his attenders, those who just worked with him for all these years, carried his body for 1,000 miles. 1,000 miles, now think about it, without refrigeration or anything. Carried his body 1,000 miles to the shores, and there was a British ship that took his body and took it back to England and buried him there. But they loved him that much. In fact, during this period of time, Queen Victoria said, you know, she wasn't the most famous person in the British Empire at all. The empire where the sun never set, but it was David Livingston. I don't think for a moment David Livingston thought that mattered at all to him. He went into the interior of Africa. He discovered Victoria Falls. He founded the Congo River, on and on and on, for one purpose, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he loved the Lord so much and loved people so much. There are very few people where you will remember like that. David Livingston, at least for the last couple hundred years or so, 150 years, I've been one of those. But Mary, oh, Mary's different. Mary was honored by the Lord. You know, as we go into the period of time next week, we have Palm Sunday. And as we enter the time when we meditatively worship and thank God for what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, I wonder where we are in our lives, you know? Sometimes I think we come to church and we're just good Christians. And what does that mean? I'm not really sure. But are we people that worship? Are we people that love our Lord so much? Are we people that can make an impact in the lives of men and women, young and old, for generations to come? I sure hope we are. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this day. And I'm so excited as we approach Easter, because it means everything to us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are willing to do the unthinkable, to die in our place for nothing that you have done, but everything that I have done. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. I want to pray and ask that you would help our church here, individuals here, to worship like Mary worshiped. That we would go into the deepest part of our lives and surrender to you in worship, whatever that may be. that, Lord God, that you would be able to say to us, we did what we could. Nothing less at all. Lord, thank you so much.